is where we'll be this morning. I hope you all had a great Christmas and you got everything that you wanted and possibly even more. And everybody got a belly full of all that good food. And you just had a great Christmas with family and friends. First Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. Let's begin reading just a few verses. Let's stand as we honor God in the reading of His Word. For we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the blessings of life. Lord, as we bring the message this morning, I pray that you would help me deliver this message in a way that would honor and glorify you. Lord, I pray you'd bring to my mind the things that you would have said. I pray I'd be boldness under the Holy Spirit being led, that I would say those things that need to be said. And that, Lord, that you would also guard my lips, that I wouldn't say something that shouldn't be said as well. Lord, I pray if there's one here lost and undone, I pray they'd come to the knowledge of Christ. Lord, I pray this morning for the church, those that are a part of the family of God, those that have been born into the kingdom through the new birth in Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, we'd be challenged today to be what you would have us to be. To be Christ-like, to be Christ-loving, to be Christ-serving. Lord, I pray that you would anoint me and use me today in the way that only you can. You carry it to the hearts of each one that's here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to speak to you this morning about the subject of building new on an old foundation. Building new on an old foundation. I just read to you out of the scriptures, out of Paul's letter to the church there at Corinth, some information that I think all of us needs, that first of all, that we are laborers. A laborer is someone who works. And Paul tells the church there at Corinth that we are all laborers together with God. And so if we're not laboring with God, not laboring because of God, but laboring with God, then we're not being what the Scripture says that we should be. For we are laborers together with God. And then he says that we are God's husbandry. In other words, we're God's farmers. We're God's workers. We're the workforce of God, if you would, in the world that we live in. The church in the day that we live in is hurting. I'm talking about the church. Church of God is in great shape. Because he said that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. But the things that we know as church, the buildings where people come together to worship at, in the day we live in, is hurting. In an article in Christianity Today, which is a popular Christian magazine that talks about the Christian world and what's going on in it, had these things written by Steve McSwain. And he gives a very bleak look at the American church in the day that we live in. And I took this out of that article. It says, according to Hartford Institute of Religion Research, more than 40% of Americans say they go to church weekly. It turns out, however, less than 20% are actually in church. In other words, more than 80% of Americans are finding more fulfilling things to do on the weekends. Furthermore, somewhere between 4,000 and 7,000 churches close their doors every year. Southern Baptist researcher Tom Rayner, in an article entitled 13 Issues for Churches in 2013, gives an even higher estimate. Tom Rainer says that somewhere between 8,000 and 10,000 churches will likely close their doors this year. Between the years of 2010 and 2012, more than half of all Americans in church added not one member to the church roll, not one baptism in the church, in more than half of all churches in America. Each year, nearly 3 million more people, previously churchgoers, enter into the ranks of the religiously unaffiliated, end quote. In the world we live in, church as we know it is in trouble. Churches everywhere are closing their doors because no one is there. No one is helping pay the bills. No one is helping to do evangelism. No one is helping to serve. No one is helping to encourage. And we find almost 10,000 churches a year in America closing their doors. So we must say that in an effort to stop what we call the draining of the American church, we've come up with a variety of things to do. We have come up with some enhanced images of what church should look like. Oh, there's all these experts. You can find their books in any bookstore that will tell us how we should be doing church. But the truth is this. We're just trying to make church a more palatable place for a world that has already rejected the gospel of Christ. I was told this week that when you stand in a pulpit and preach that sin is sin and sin is wrong, heaven is sweet and hell is hot, then you're going to be very unpopular in the day that we live in. You won't build a very big church. And so certainly we have to ask the question, what do we want our church to be like? Do we like to be like the mode of the world, to make an image in a way that people can come in and at least church will be palatable to them and they don't find any offense in what is going on within the church? We've gone down as far as to dress churches up where they don't look like churches. I remember a friend of mine out in California, they built a new church. It was a massive building. And one thing when we were walking up to the church that that person said to me was this: we decided not to build it to look like a church so that if we ever wanted to sell the property, it would be a lot easier to sell if it didn't look like a church. Or maybe the people in the city wouldn't be offended coming to a place that didn't really look like a church because they don't really want to be in church anyway. And I thought to myself, that's good if you're in the contract business and you're in the business not of building churches, but of selling property, that might be a good thing. So we dress churches up. They don't look like churches. We actually have taken and changed their names so they don't sound like churches. I remember 27 years ago when we sat around a table, said, what do we want to name this work we're going to begin? I remember it was said, well, let's not put Baptist in it because people might be offended and don't want to come to a Baptist church. Let's just call it a community church. I said, no, I don't want to be at a church when somebody walks in the church that any old doctrine can be drug in, because I want them to know what the foundation this church has been built on, and therefore I want it to say we believe in the Baptist doctrine of Scripture. And so when they come in, that's what I want people to say. They are at a Baptist church. Now, it's very unpopular in the day we live in. Churches are changing their names. They're doing everything they can, leaving church or even community fellowships out of it. They're just doing all sorts of stuff. We dress churches up. They don't look like churches because we don't want to offend anybody in case they might want to stop in for a hot dog or a barbecue. Now, I'm just saying that. I don't want to make anybody mad or offend anybody. Listen, we have taken and dressed the pastors down to where they don't even look like pastors anymore. They look like fishing buddies. Now, there's nothing wrong with sharing the gospel in your fishing clothes. But I'm telling you, when we do that, something happens. We lose the respect and honor of God's man. I remember whenever I was young, the most person that was respected even by dreaded sinners when I was 5 and 6 years old. Everybody else might talk about folks, but the pastor, those men in the community that held up the word of God, they were respected men because they knew that they were men of God. And when we dress them down to where they look like fishing buddies, what we lose is we lose the respect of God's man. Now listen, we also lose the respect of the God's word that's been proclaimed by that man. Listen, when we eat the preacher up for lunch after church service because they didn't like what he said, what influence is that going to have on our children when our children have issues in life and you say, well, let's bring the pastor over. And what that child's thinking, hey, he ain't going to do me no good because I've heard what you said about him. Don't bring the deacon over, old brother so-and-so. I know what you said about him. Don't try to get him over here to influence my life. We lose the respect and the honor of God's people. We've energized music. I love music. I like contemporary music. I can't help it. I played in a rock band. I like that stuff growing up. I done everything but break the guitar because daddy wouldn't buy me nothing if I done it. You know, they'd beat them guitars against the floor, break them all up. Well, I knew if I done that, I wasn't going to get another guitar. Daddy wasn't going to buy it for me. But we've got the music, the beat of the music, so energized. And this is happening in churches of America. It's pulling our young people to the altar in mash pits instead of sinners to the altars on their knees by a broken and contrite spirit. We're losing the respect of God's house. We're thinking because it don't look like a church, we shouldn't treat it like a place to be respected. I think in a lot of times, our churches are less respected than our own houses. Sometimes I wonder, does people do this stuff in their own house? We live in an exciting time. You know why we live in an exciting time? It's our time. See, we can't do nothing about the 1800s because that wasn't our time. We can't do nothing about the 1200s. That wasn't our time. And many of us can't do anything about the early 1900s because that was not our time. But this is an exciting time because it's our time. And it's exciting being at a church where God is bringing people from all over the world to. Listen, we don't even have to leave Jacksonville to reach the world. They're all around us. Because of the military base, people come here. Families come here, immigrants come here for work. God is putting them all around us. It's our time. This is a new time. It's our time. And we need to be excited about what God is doing. It's wonderful to belong to a church that loves one another, a church that's seen God's wonder working power. And we've seen that over the years. But if we're not careful, we begin to build on a wrong foundation. See, you cannot build on a new foundation. Paul says here that there's no other foundation that we can build except Jesus Christ. And so in that prospect, I want us to think about what does it mean to do work for God? We have every right to look forward with confidence, with joy, with anticipation, because we serve a God who can. Now, we can't do anything. And sometimes I think we shrink, and I'm bad about this. I'm a hands-on person. I like it in my hand. You know what I mean? And so getting out there too far ahead of myself, I'm nervous with that. But we need to be people that will reach out for the impossible, because it's possible with God. See, we can't do nothing about 2017. You just got a few hours left in 2017. You and I have probably done all we're going to do to influence 2017. But we've got 2018 that's going to be here in just a few hours. Now, let me ask you this. If we remain doing exactly what we've done this year, Will we really be doing what Paul said here in the book of Corinthians when he said that we are laborers together with God? Can we truly say that I can come along in 2018 and I can do exactly what I've done in 2017 and I am a co-worker, I am a laborer with God? Or would we have to say, no, if I do the same thing I did in 2017, then I'm not really a co-laborer. I'm not really a laborer with God. I'm just riding the church train. Got no position, got no work, got nothing to do. I'm just riding to heaven. That's what I'm doing. So what do? It's time to build. It's time to grow. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but we get smaller and smaller and smaller. It's time to grow. It's time to serve. It's time to work. It's time for the church to awaken and say, I am a laborer with God. It's past me, but it's not past God. I can't do one thing, but God can do it all. But we sit around and have become so comfortable with nothing until we're building nothing. Here, Paul says there's a foundation to build on. It's not a new foundation. It's not because I dress down or you dress up. Listen, when we started this work, I was just praying on Saturday night that some of the young ladies would wear clothes that would cover themselves. It was bad. I'm serious. As a heart attack. It was like, whoa, please, back out the door, please. Nobody had been to church. They didn't know nothing about church. And I was thinking, man, we need to run them off. We need to get our belt off and straighten them young ladies out. And those guys, they're crazy when they're coming in. My gracious alive, what are we going to do with them? But then God said, just take them and preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel. Just be faithful to the gospel, and I will do what is necessary to do. Let me tell you something. I go fishing a lot of times, or used to. I don't go very often anymore. Have you ever caught a skate? That's a fine fish, ain't it? Looks beautiful. I've never carried a skate home and cleaned it. Have you? Maybe you have. I haven't. I've never eaten a skate that I knew was a skate. But now you let me find a good old sea croaker, and I carry that thing home. I'll skin that thing. I'll scale that thing. I'll gut that thing. And we'll throw in that frying pan. We'll eat that thing up. You know why? Because it's worth having. And God sort of told me this. You don't really know what's worth having. I know what's worth having. You just get them in. Don't clean the fish before you get them in the boat. You just get the fish and let me do the cleaning of the fish. But we've quit even fishing. Now, you might say, well, I've done this year, I've done that. Wonderful. Wonderful. That's great news. But until God takes us out of here, we are still co-laborers with God. And none of us have the right to sit on the stool of do nothing except ride the church's train to heaven, even if we're going to heaven. Or we might be on that train that is the world's church and not God's church. And we might not be riding that train to heaven. So what do we do? What do we do this year that's different? Nothing. Because it's an old foundation. We're not going to rearrange. We're not going to do things different. We're just going to do. And we start out with the number one thing that I know of that is within the church, that is the mandate of the church, is this: evangelize. We've got to evangelize. In Acts chapter 14, listen, Paul was an evangelist. He was an evangelist. He loved the gospel. He knew what his calling was. Now listen, Paul was an apostle. But you are a proclaimer of the gospel. And Paul knew what his job was as a follower of Christ, and that was to share the gospel. He understood that call. He understood that very clearly. He didn't just sit around and ride the temple train. He got out there and he met the people in the temple. He met them in the streets. He met them where they were sick. He met them where the unbelievers were. He met them where the wicked were. Because when he went to the temple here in Acts chapter 14 and he preached the gospel, they beat the mud out of him. Anybody in here ever had the mud beat out of you for sharing the gospel? I didn't think so. They beat Paul till they thought he was dead. And they threw him outside the city. And all those friends that loved Paul, they come around Paul, and there he was laid, beaten, and bloody. They thought he was dead, and Paul jumps up, brushes himself off, and he run home to hide. No, he didn't. He brushed himself off, and he went to Deerbeer to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ after just getting the mud beat out of him. It didn't. You know why? Because he was so drawn. He loved his people. He loved people so much, he did not want to see them spend eternity in hell. He loved them. He got up immediately and he went to evangelize the city with the gospel of Christ. Paul's whole purpose of life was to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:16, here's what it says. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Yeah, I preach the gospel, but it's not something to glory about. Here's why, for the necessity is laid upon me, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe unto us if we preach not the gospel. Woe unto us if we share not the gospel. Woe unto us if we are not evangelistic in our work, in our reach, and in our thought. We're to preach the gospel, but we're not only to preach the gospel. We're to evangelize. Evangelism is vital to our church. It is vital to every church. Without evangelism, no church will survive. It takes evangelism. What exactly is evangelism? It is just spreading the gospel of Christ in a public preaching arena or in a personal witness. We have to reach them people. We must bring them in to hear the gospel. But before you bring anybody in, you have to go to them. We're back here on the backside of a desert. They don't ride by and see us. They come because people invite. We have some people that come through the internet. They get on there and they search churches with Awana. We pop up. I asked somebody, well, how'd you find us back here on the backside? We searched the internet. So, we've got to reach them, but we've got to go to them. If they're ever going to hear the gospel, it's because we have gone and shared with them that we love them and share the truth that God loves them. But we don't just preach the gospel. We have to live it. We have to live it. Let me tell you what some folks need to do. They need to stop putting junk on Facebook. I'm serious. Let me tell you what Facebook can do for you nowadays. It will cause you not to get a job. Did you know that? Did you know whenever companies hire people now, they go to search their social agendas? Did you know that? And let me tell you what. Whenever we put some of this junk that we put on the internet, it makes you think twice about asking somebody to do something that is spiritual. Because some of it is pure garbage. Some of it shows an uncaring and selfish heart. Some even shows the lack of love for family. Wow. That's the first thing we need to do, because our friends we're trying to share the gospel with also sees what we put on that social media. And you go to them at work and you share the gospel with them, they're going to say, oh yeah, tell me about that. I know you know about that. We have no influence. And another thing we need to do, while I'm on the bandwagon this morning, when we come to church, we need to leave our stinking phones in the cars. I realize we got our Bibles on the phone. I've got my Bible on the phone. But I see too many people doing this right here. And they said, well, I was just going to my Bible. No, you weren't, because we weren't even using the Bible that time. I said, if we ain't got, excuse my candor this morning, if we ain't got an hour and a half to give Jesus Christ, to worship Him and to hear from His Word, what kind of Christian life are we leaving? We have to live the Christian life. Not just talk about it, we have to live it. And we cannot support that stuff that is not right, that God says is not right, and say that we're Christian when we're against what God says is wrong. We need to ask God to give us His love for sinners, His heart for sinners, His desire to reach sinners. That's the way we get evangelistic hearts. We got to be what God would have us to be. Then there's that exhortation of the church. What does that mean? It's parakello is the word in the original language, and it just simply means to call alongside. We are to come. Listen, when we are struggling in something, don't go to nobody else but to a believer and call them alongside of you. Listen, we should not ever, when a brother or sister comes to us and say, hey, brother, I'm having trouble with alcohol. I'm having trouble with drugs. I'm having trouble with pornography. I'm having trouble with adultery or the same with a woman. What we need to do is say, brother or sister, listen, let me walk with you through this thing and help you and encourage you and be there for you. Or if we don't, if all we do is judge them and condemn them, how are they going to get through this stuff? Believe me, none of us is perfect. There's times I need people to walk along beside me. And you know what? Now you answer this to me. But we're afraid to ask somebody to walk with us because most of the time they can't keep things a secret and they condemn us. We have to build on that foundation of Christ because Christ built up people. It's intended to come along and build in a person's life, an effect of their lives, so that people we encounter, so that it draws them, it encourages them, and it comforts them to know that they're loved and that God cares about them. And yes, I can go through this. And yes, I can be successful in overcoming this. Yes, there's people who love me even in my weakness. Because God wants us to be like that. God wants us to come along beside each other. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us personally. He comes along beside of us. You know why? Because we cannot do it ourselves. And He comes right along beside us, and He helps us through life. But we need some flesh and blood to be there that I can go to you and say, hey, I have stumbled this week, and let me tell you what's happened. And listen, I'm talking about men with men and women with women. We don't need it the opposite way around, because that can cause other issues. But we just say, listen, brother, or listen, sister, whatever the case might be, I am with you. I will help you with this. I will walk with you this. When you have this, you call me. I don't care if it's 2 a.m, call me. Someone that will exhort us, hold us up, come along beside us. Everyone needs in a church. Everybody needs to exhort one another to lift each other up, because none of us have perfect weeks. Paul encouraged those who believe the gospel and to put their faith in Christ. This is Acts 14, 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, he returned to Lystra, confirming the souls of those disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. We are to say, don't give up. Don't give up. God will see you through this. There are things that we can do to help our church family. There's things we can do to encourage each other. There are things we can do to help one another in our walk with Christ. We need to encourage those that feel like giving up. Anybody in here ever felt like giving up? Yeah, we have, haven't we? Nobody is exempt from that. From the preacher all the way back. There's times that you say, this is just overwhelming. I just need to throw my hands up and give up. But God don't let us do that. He brings us together and he brings somebody in our life. We need to encourage those that are in leadership. Listen, the devil wants to do something within a church. He goes to the leadership. We need to be praying for the pastor. We need to be praying for the leaders of our church, the deacons, the leaders, the worship leaders, the music leaders, everything that there is. We need to pray for the leaders of the church that the devil will keep his hands off of them, so that he brings no cause of disgrace within the church. And the best way that I know to encourage a leader is to pray for them. Be there and support them when they're doing what it is they do. I can tell you, Terry wouldn't mind there a bit. On Thursdays, you come out here and watch him. He's working. He's enjoying what he's doing for the Lord. And he's whistling and listen, support him. He don't care if you come out here and watch him. He might give you a little rag to wash something out, but I don't know. But whatever and whoever is in leadership, be there. There's nothing that I know more that discourages a leader is when this happens, that nobody comes when it's their time to lead. That's one of the things we've got to do. We need to encourage all the families of faith. Not just our church, but every church. Let people know that Christ is everywhere. I think this is the best church in the county. But he's in other places too. I mean, we need to stick our nose up and think that we're the only ones. No. But we need to let the people of God know that we're there for them. And we need to be what God would have us to be. We need to build on that foundation. We need some edification. Edification is this. It's actually architecture. Did you know that? That's neat how this is. The word edification comes from words that mean contracting or architectural work. In other words, what it means actually, it implies a structure, a dwelling place. It implicates a family. So here in God's house, let me read these few scriptures to you. In 1 Peter 2:4 says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Listen to what he says. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. Then in 2 Timothy he says, thou therefore, my brethren, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Building up, building up, building up. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which is you have of God, and are not your own? For you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are to help build one another's lives. It's a construction matter. Break out the tool belts. Matter of fact, this morning I started wearing a tool belt up here while I preached. I was going to strap on my tool belt. It's time to build. Now listen, yeah, we want physical things, but listen, until we build the spiritual things, the physical things have no impact. Have no impact. So it is really just simply this edification uses a picture of building, construction, of something that brings people together under one roof. It has something to do with building a life, helping build other people's lives. And that's what God wants us to do. We are life builders. God makes the changes. We're the life builders. We're His instruments. Ain't that what He said? We are co-laborers. You are His husbandry. You're His caretakers. You're His custodians. You're the master builder. That's exactly what we are. We are life builders. We don't build on the lives of earthly things. We build spiritual things. We're to put our minds on the things that are of God and not of this world. That's where we build at. We need to be building up, not tearing down. We should never join the ranks of tearing down. We should never be those who specialize in tearing down. We've got no business at all imploding the work of God. We're to edify. We're to build, 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 build. That's what God would have us to do. We build up the church through organization, through delegation of responsibilities, and we do that and cover it all with prayer and support. Then we build through fellowship. Now, this is the part we like, don't you? We all like fellowship. Well, fellowship is the word koinonia, and it just simply means partners, benefactors. We are beneficiaries of each other. We're to commute. We are to commune together. The word fellowship is really summed up in this scripture here. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one to another. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. See, that's when we know we're having fellowship. We must know each other before we can love each other. And we must love each other before we can care about one another. But we will never get to know someone where we can love them if we don't fellowship together. We share our lives with others. We share our hope and dreams with others. Why? That's fellowship. That's what being part of a church is. It's joining together. We are bonded one with another. We love each other, and that will help us carry the load of each other. It will help us rejoice of each other. It will help us support one another. I guess we just need this one, just take a moment and ask the question, what am I building on? Am I trying to build something new? Or do I just want to build new on an old foundation? One that has been tested by time and eternity and is a sure foundation. That's what we need to build on. We need to love one another. We need to love Christ. And we need to ask ourselves, am I building on? What am I building on? And why am I building? The last thing I want to share with you is this. Let's see what Jesus says really about building on a proper foundation. Jesus speaking, and said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. We need to build new on an old foundation. We need to dig deep to that old foundation. We need to love and care about each other in everything that we do. This morning, let me ask you, would you commit yourselves to God in 2018 to be co-laborers with God, to be his husbandry, to work in his kingdom through his church, to build his kingdom and to build the lives of his people, to edify one another, to fellowship one another because we love, because Christ says that's how we know that we're his children. This morning, if you do, around this altar, you make a commitment to him. Let's start out 2018 greater than any year has ever been in this church, with our people committed to build with God for his kingdom's glory, not for ours. Every head bowed. Father, thank you.